Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios here in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. And we just had a little chatter about a lot of things, including tofu and artichokes. So if you're just tuning in, you didn't miss much. But anyway, right now we have our friend and longtime sponsor from Schmoe's Brewery, Chaz Thompson, the Baritone of Beer, joining us. Welcome, Chaz.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, man. Thanks for making time for us because it's spring and you've got some new brews, man.
Yeah, we decided to do some features in the tap room this year and kind of do some experimentals, see if they work, see how far we're going to take them in the market. So the first one we popped out here, and I've already poured it for you guys, Blood Orange Pale Ale.
Okay.
So we took our Michigan Pale Ale and put a little blood orange twist on it just to see how that works out.
Oh, it works for me.
Yeah, it works for me. And go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was just going to say, I saw your posting of this a couple weeks ago, and I said, wow, that sounds fantastic, because I've had a couple of blood orange IPAs that I really liked, and I'm just curious what it would take to move this to an IPA.
We'd have to, you know, change the base beer on it. Really, and then we're going to have to.
How would that be?
Well, we're going to need ale now, right?
Yeah, we're going to need a little bit more malt characteristic in there to support the hops.
Okay.
You know, we're not one of those breweries that goes severely off in a direction with the hops. Mm-hmm. We like to balance our beers up. I like to say so you can have more than one pint.
Right.
This one and done trend is no good to me.
Right.
I need to sell a little more beer like that, keep the doors open. Mm-hmm. So we like to make beers that are very drinkable, not that are going to blow your head off on the first one and make you say, whoa, I got to drive home, or, oh,
sort
yeah,
of the, just sort the of taste. The theory that Keweenaw Brewing does, where all their beers are low ABV.
So what is this
you're
one?
You're not all low.
Right. No, we run the gambit. Now, my friends at KBC, they're also dealing with predominantly college students.
Right.
I call it the training ground.
Right, yeah.
Because I went to that university.
Right.
So we go with this one right in that 4.75 range.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really nice.
It's very sessionable. You can enjoy this while you're doing two or three things around the house. You can swing by the brewery, get a growler of it.
So that's a legitimate session beer.
Yeah, anything under 5, I really believe with that. Right. You know, knocking on that door of 5.
So
Michigan, we say maybe 5.5.
So those who maybe don't know the lingo, explain session ale.
Well, session ale started out in England where the guys wanted to drink, but they wanted to drink all afternoon because they enjoyed the conversation, the camaraderie.
So it's a drinking session.
Yes. So you want to be able to spend some time with your friends enjoying a beverage, but not get all messed up.
Right.
You want to experience the time, the camaraderie. I mean, what pubs were meant to be.
Right.
Whether you're talking with your neighbors about the politics, farming, their backyard construction projects, their new dog, whatever it is.
Right.
You want to spend some time with the guys.
You
so you need a beer. Yeah, you need some beer that is not going to throw you overboard on this.
Sure enough. And this is it. Now, this is a, it's not a Belgian style. It's a pale.
This is an American pale.
I'm looking through it. Right, and it's got a nice. It does have an orange tint to it.
Yeah.
So when you say this is just probably taking a deep dive, but blood orange. How do you get the blood orange into the beer? Is it the physical fruit, or is it an extract, or what's that look like?
Well, the physical fruit would prove very logistically troublesome. So we get juice extracts.
Okay.
And those are the way to integrate into a beverage because otherwise you've got a big mess of juice in it. What do you do with all the rinds, the extra effort and stuff? And then it becomes cost prohibitive. And you don't want to spend the money to do these things, or I'm going to have to charge way more money than our typical West Michigan consumer wants to spend.
Right. So this is a very drinkable session beer that I could see. Is it growler only, right? You've made this to just give it a run in the tap room.
Pints and
not
growlers
gonna see
right
this
now.
on the shelf right now.
It won't be on the shelf, but we may see it out in some local restaurants. We're talking to a couple of people about it. But
nice.
I got to tell
you. Just in the keg.
I got to tell you, if you haven't been to Schmoe's yet, after all these years of us begging you to do that, you now have a spring reason to get right over there. Now, if I was serving this, I would probably want to throw a half a slice of orange in there just to really dial it up. and to complement it a little bit, like I do when I'm doing an Oberon. And I like that acidic sweetness that it adds. But this would be a wonderful pool time beer.
I'll tell you, I did some the other night. Little quick chicken breast. I used some of that tangerine olive oil from mm-hmm. Old World. Man, did that just, this just boom, boom, blew your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. Just a little rice on the side.
You did this as, you drank it or did you use that as a marinade?
I put this in the glass and I drink this.
Right, yeah. Yeah, dumb question, Job.
Do some
Sorry.
Grilling over there.
Yeah, right. Put the oil on the chicken and put this in the glass.
You
yeah,
ever marinate in beer?
Occasionally, but you know, a lot of times it draws out too much acidity.
Okay.
And it imparts way too much acidity into your meat. If you've got a meat that's really tough and you need to break it down a little bit, you can use some in a marinade, but I wouldn't go straight. And definitely nothing with a big IPA or something like that. It's just going to funk it up a little bit.
Right. And
but next to it, oh my.
Yeah.
So you could dry hop this at the end if you wanted to spike it up a little bit too, couldn't you?
You could, but you're going to get lost in the
hoppiness.
Orange. The hoppiness would have to be so strong that it would get the orange would lose.
I see.
You know, it's a very calculating game to balance these things up
right.
together.
Right.
And if
it's the beer
just
engineering,
and
that's
throw
the,
something out
yeah.
there, it, and
and
it
that's
goes
the
wrong.
Problem with a lot of microbreweries had 10 years ago when they were trying to have their version of the IPA. I remember going down to the Bob 10 or 15 years ago, and they had an India Pale Ale. Oh my gosh, it had such a bite to it because it was just so much hop that they weren't bringing in the malt to balance it out. And yeah. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're talking with Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery right now. And this weekend is all things under the spring and spring moon, and we're enjoying a little blood orange under this spring moon.
Blood orange pale ale available right now only at the Grand Rapids location.
Mm-hmm. So a blood orange, what is that? I mean, obviously it's a fruit, but do you go buy those at the store? Can I don't. I guess I don't understand the difference between a navel orange and the blood orange. Maybe fuzz?
Well, if you call the orange farmers, there's a lot of oranges.
Okay,
different oranges and stuff. And this one, when you cut a blood orange open, it has just a vibrant, vibrant, bloody red.
It is very red.
And
okay.
Looks more like a grapefruit.
Yeah, it looks like a Texas grapefruit, but it doesn't really have that much juice. You've got to really squeeze these things to get a lot out of them. They're really, really kind of a dense fruit.
So what are okay. we trying now?
Well, we're going to try it at the next. Let's do that one in the next segment because I want to give it its justice because I've never had a Seabreeze beer,
okay.
right? And Seabreeze beer is something that Chaz is going to dive into a little bit in the next segment, if we can. But
sure.
with the blood orange, it's something that I think that this is a very drinkable beer for the person that is just maybe on the front edge of their microbrew.
Well, you know, and the great thing
palate.
About, you know, our draft-only products, you get them in a growler. Growlers, too many people don't understand about the growler. It's a bottle that you buy, and you get to bring it back. So it's the greenest solution out there in beer.
Sure.
Because you rinse it out. I even put the directions on the back of the bottle.
On how to clean them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, coming up next, Chaz, can you stay with us for another segment?
I can have
All right. We're gonna dive into this Seabreeze because Bob's anxious. He's got one in his hand, and we're going to give it a try. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Escape.